shifting us and transitioning us into a new era, into a new time on our planet. So then, like most of us here, we know, like if you look on the TV, just living life, you would know, and it's apparently clear that the planet we're living on is going through huge change and huge shiftings and transition. Like even if for some of us that have a few years behind of us, then ahead of us, like we know that this planet is much different than the planet was 30, 20, 10 years ago. That we're in a new season. And what this season is a time where God is recalibrating. This is an era of reconstruction and renovation so that God is wanting to do a whole overhaul, of what we know and what we think about him, so he can really force us to really redirect our hearts on Jesus once again. Like everything that God is doing in the earth is to force us to look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Because for so many of us, we look to man, we look to circumstances, we look to people, and that's the reason why we're seeing a lot of exposure happening in this hour, is because God is saying, no longer will I allow my church to be influenced by certain things. The Lord says, I want to do something in the earth that's going to force man to redirect his heart back to Jesus, who is the true head and leader of his church. So then everything in the past 2 to 3 years has been about that, has been to really cause us to confront areas of unbelief in our heart about what we think about God. Because many of us, we may know about God, but do we really know him? So then in the past few years, God has allowed the earth to go through such transition and groaning so that it can force us on our face and say, I need to see Jesus. Jesus high and lifted up and exalted. I need to know him, not just know about him. So then that's this era that we're in. It's an era of revelation. It's an era of illumination. So then, just like I said before, if you scan the planet, you know that we're in a time of huge shifting. And you don't have to be a prophet or an intercessor to discern this. The very fact that you have the Holy Spirit on your side, you have the capacity and the ability to discern the temperature of the hour and know that God is doing something in the earth. So then we're in a huge time of transition in the earth, and God is pouring out. He wants to equip us with wisdom. I don't know, Melvin, you have something?
Yeah, I guess I can carry on from here. But this particular season is what we would call a valley season. Or a season where we're being tested and tried on every side. And if you understand about just how men of old used to go and worship God, because one thing you have to understand is that Zion, the city of God, was established at the top of the mountain. So then when it came to going to Zion, which is the city of the king, they had to start from the valley and work their way up to the mountaintop. They started in the valley, and what you have to understand about the valley is that the valley is a place of warfare. It's a place of testing. And historically, some of the earth's most famous battles, especially biblically, took place in the valley. For instance, how many of you guys heard the term Armageddon, right? Biblically, it's an apocalyptic term, Armageddon. But that term references a battle that took place in a valley called Megiddo. M-E-G-I-D-D-O. Megiddo. The Valley of Megiddo. And the reason why the Bible mentions this valley is because historically, some of the most epic, life-changing battles took place in this particular valley. Because that's where battles were fought, in the valley. Not on the mountain. Because of the topography, it would be too hard to fight in the valley. I mean, in the mountain. So the enemies would wait in the valley. The enemies of Israel would oftentimes position themselves in the valley. They wouldn't go up to Zion because it was a stronghold. They'll suffer, they'll die if they went up to the mountain, up to Zion, but they stayed in the valley. And then oftentimes God would commission Israel and say, okay, is it my time to go up? Then God would tell them, okay, go. You could go meet him for battle. But for the most part, battles took place in the valley. So then the valley represents a time of warfare, a time of testing, a time of trials and difficulties. And as a matter of fact, in the book of Psalms, our favorite verse, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I to be a valley dweller. You're called to be a mountaintop dweller. In other words, God never intended for you to stay in a valley season all your life. You're supposed to go through the valley, which means it's temporary. It's not permanent. But oftentimes, we can find ourselves in that valley permanently for some of us.
Yeah.
Which is a shame.
Yeah.
Because some of us could be in the valley for 20 years. 20 years in a valley when that's not God's lot for your life. Trust me, the reason why you're in that valley is probably because of unbelief. But that's another topic in itself. But God never called us to be valley dwellers, but to be mountaintop dwellers, to get to Zion where the king is. Remember, Zion was a city that was positioned high. It represents going higher in God. It was a city that was in an elevated place. And God wants to take us higher. He wants to elevate us in this season. But before we can get to that higher level, elevated place, we have to first go through the valley, where you may face some trying times. But guess what? The good news is that we should never be discouraged. We should never be afraid. We should not have anxiety and just be afraid and fearful. The reason why is because we need to know and understand that our times are in his hand. That Psalms 31 chapter 15, our times are in his hand. Now, when the Bible speaks of times, it represents your past, your present, your future, and really your entire life. Your entire life is in the hand of the Lord. And as a matter of fact, what the psalmist said, he said, my times are in your hand. And therefore, you would deliver me from my enemies. In other words, because our life, our past, our present, our future is in the hand of God, there's a guarantee that God will deliver us from our enemies. And that is why we should not fret when we're in this season called the valley. Because we know that God's going to bring us through. He's going to deliver us from everything that would try to assault our life.
Come on.
But then that's the good thing about God. Is that he is with us. And we can bank on him being there with us. I don't care what season you're in. I don't care what's going on in your life. You know, we say these terms and these phrases, God is good, all the time, and all the time God is good, and that's true. But we need to start believing in that and having faith that God is good even in a bad season. Because that is what's going to bring us to the mountaintop, to where his glory is. Amen. But God wants to equip us in this season that we're in, as a church, as humanity. Because what you have to understand is that the valley season is something that doesn't just hit individuals. It doesn't just hit the church. It doesn't just hit society. It can hit an entire planet.
Come on.
And then that is what we're in right now. We're in this season of this planetary winnowing. The separation is really the judgments and dealings of God. And I don't know how much we're going to share with that. It depends on the time. But what we're facing right now are times of testing and difficulty. And whenever God judges, he always wants to assess the faith level of his people. Remember, he says, when I come, will I find faith in the earth? When the Bible talks about the coming of the Lord, it always talks about his justice and his judgment hitting the earth. So when God is judging, sifting, and measuring, he wants to measure your faith level. And he did not say your love level, he said your faith level. Even though we know the two are connected. Because how can you have faith without love? You know, faith works by love. But the one thing that is needed in order to anchor you in times that we're in now is supernatural, unwavering faith. You know, and that's why God devoted a whole chapter in Hebrews 11 talking about faith, the hall of faith. Because during that time, the church was going through immense persecution. And he wanted to give them the key to longevity, the key to God's sustaining power, which is faith uncompromised. But God wants to equip us in this season. And one thing that he does, he imparts wisdom, revelation, and knowledge.
Yes.
So then, just like my brother said, we're in a valley season. And one of the ways that God equips us is with wisdom and knowledge. And like when we think about God equipping us, God doesn't just want us to have wisdom and knowledge. He wants us to be skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge. And we get that from the book of Daniel. So, like, most of you guys understand, like, you know, the story of Daniel, how, you know, the children of Israel were in exile in Babylon, and how there was a group of men that the king wanted from Israel to grow up in the king's court and learn, you know, just learn science, learn math, just excel in wisdom. So then, before I move forward, turn your Bibles to Daniel chapter 2, verse 20 and 22.
Hallelujah.
Daniel chapter 2, verse 22, and verse 20 and 22. And let me know when you are there.
Come on now, read.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, so how many of you guys are there? Daniel 2, verse 20 and 22. Okay, so before I read this verse, let me just give you guys just a brief, like, backdrop. So then in this, hallelujah. So in this particular passage, we read about how, well, in the backdrop, King Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. And in this dream, it so troubled him that he got all the magicians, the sorcerers, the wise men to try to interpret this dream that he had, because it troubled him. He was disturbed by what he saw in the dream. But none of the magicians and the wise men were able to interpret the dream. They couldn't read the signs that was in the dream. And this irritated and angered King Nebuchadnezzar to such a point that he put out a death decree to kill all of the wise men, the sages, the sorcerers, the magicians. He wanted them all dead because none of them, to him, none of them was worthless. They couldn't even interpret his dream. So then Daniel hears about it. And he says, he goes to the hand of the king, or the king's, like, right-hand man or assistant, and says, tell King Nebuchadnezzar to give me time to pray to my God. Because, you know, I know he put out this death decree to kill all of the wise men and counselors, but just give me one day or just some time, and I will come forth with an interpretation. So then what we're about to read here is Daniel praising God for the interpretation that God gave him of the king's dream. So then this is what he says as he praises God for giving him the wisdom and power to interpret this dream. So then it reads in verse 20, and declare, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to him. He changes the times and seasons. He removes kings and establishes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals the deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. So then there are four powerful truths that we can get from this particular passage. The first truth we can get is from the first verse. It reads, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to him. Now, one of the first things we have to know about the nature of God is that all wisdom and power belong to him. Like, that's one foundational truth that you need to have to anchor your faith in. That despite what goes on in the earth, all wisdom and power belongs to him. And the interesting thing about this verse is that it starts off by saying, blessed be the name of God, or name of the Lord. And whenever the scripture talks about the name of the Lord, the name of God, the name of the Lord, it's referring to his nature, his character. So in this particular verse, God is reintroducing himself. He's revealing himself as a God of all power and all wisdom. He's letting them know the reason behind Daniel's praise. What fueled and ignited his praise of God is that he had an experience of the God who is all wise and who is all powerful, who gave him the interpretation of the king's dream. So that's one of the foundational things you need to know about God. Like, point one is that all power belongs to him. All wisdom and power belongs to him. Christ is the wisdom of God and the power of God. You got to know that in your heart, that he's the only wise God, our Savior. So then once you get that revelation, it can anchor you in truth, and you can move in a level of grace that wisdom brings, that understanding brings.
I want to add something a bit to this, you know, something that I just thought of right now. You know, the scripture says that wisdom and might are his.
Yeah.
You know, and oftentimes when the Bible talks about wisdom, it always connects it with strength and might.
Yeah.
Because one's strength is really connected to one's wisdom. If you lack wisdom, you lack might and strength. And that's why God has to emphasize wisdom. He introduces himself. He says, all wisdom belongs to me. When something belongs to you, you own it, right? I'm the owner of wisdom. I am wisdom. That's my name. But I'm also might as well and power as well. And if you get wisdom, you get my might. You get my strength. You get my power. And that is why, even in this hour, God wants us to have wisdom. He doesn't want us to be a foolish man or a foolish virgin. He wants you to be a wise man, a wise virgin. He wants you to be wise.
Yes.
Because that's where your strength comes from.
Yes.
From the wisdom. It really comes from God.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
So let's move on. Point two. You know, verse 21, it says, he changes times and seasons. And we can just stop right there. So then we just got introduced to God, who's a God of all omniscience. He's a God of power. He's a God of wisdom. But then it follows up by saying that he changes times and seasons. So what God is revealing is that through the wisdom of God, God administrates and facilitates the changing of times and seasons.
Yeah.
That times and seasons being changed in your life is actually an expression of the wisdom of God in operation in your life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just like on this earth, we have seasons. Mm-hmm. We have like even the four seasons. We have winter, spring, summer, and fall. And that's actually an expression of God's wisdom for the earth, because in each season, it prepares the earth, it prepares the ground for new growth and new harvest.
Yeah.
So then one thing we have to know is that it's God's wisdom to bring us through times of transition and changing seasons so we can grow, so we can develop, so we won't remain stagnated and just stuck in a season, and we won't evolve and we won't grow. So it's the wisdom of God to change times and seasons in our life.
You know, one thing I want to say, if the seasons never change, then the planet will be doomed.
Yeah.
The planet is dependent on changing seasons.
Yeah.
If it was just one season all the time, then the planet would fall and decay. We would die.
Wow.
Humanity would die. Because humanity cannot be sustained with just one season. And that's why you need good seasons and bad seasons. You need winter, spring, summer, fall in your own life. Because it prepares you for the harvest and the fruit that's to come. But one thing we have to understand is that in this scripture it says, it's the Lord that changes the times and seasons, not the devil. Not the devil. Because oftentimes when we're in a bad season, we'll be so quick to blame the devil. And I'm not saying that the devil isn't involved. He gets involved because God allows him. But God is the author and the one who changes our times and seasons. And if you always think that something was done by the devil, that our season was demonically energized, then what we can do, we can miss the principle, the redemptive blessing that God wants to produce in that time and in that season. Perfect case scenario is the children of Israel. They went from famine. During the time of Jacob and his children, remember when there was a famine in the land? They went from a famine to Goshen to affliction. They went from famine, not having enough, to Goshen, and it doesn't matter, more than enough. Thank you for adding that. To affliction. And did they do anything wrong? No.
Nope.
That was just the way that God did it, because it was all for a purpose to create a people that he can call his own. But even in the famine, there was a purpose behind it. Because if there was no famine, there would be no reconciliation with their brother Joseph, who was governor in Egypt. So even in famine, there's a redemptive purpose. There's a grace. There's a lesson that we can learn to bring things together and bring things into fulfillment in our life. But if you're always thinking that the famine is something that is not purposeful, then we'll miss out on the blessing that God wants to produce in us. But we have to understand that God changes our times and seasons.
Amen.
And if he leads you to a bad season, guess what? He's going to lead you through that bad season. And if he leads you through that bad season, he's going to bless you in that bad season. And that's a guarantee from God. That's a guarantee. Because you keep saying that God is good all the time. God is good all in every season. God is good in my bad season. And God will bless me in my bad season as well. But we have to understand that. Remember, they went from famine to Goshen to affliction. Into deliverance and salvation. To be a nation that God can call his own. So then don't despise the season that you're in. What you have to do, you have to ask God and say, Lord, what is the wisdom that I need for this season? Because remember, every season there's a wisdom and knowledge that God wants you to have for that particular season. And you have to press into it. You have to lean into God. You have to lean with everything that's in you. You have to lean into God and figure out what is that knowledge, that wisdom that God wants me to have in that particular season, in this particular season of my life. Because it's going to lead to greatness. Guess what? It's going to take you to the mountaintop. It's going to take you to Zion, the city of the King, and to the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. It's going to take you there.
My God. So, but yeah, just like you said, like, it's the wisdom of God that helps bring us and changes times and seasons. But let's read the second part of that verse. It reads, he changes the times and seasons. He removes kings and establishes them.
Come on.
So one interesting and fascinating point that can be made even from this verse is that the changing of times and seasons are often correlated with the changing of governments in the earth. Like, it speaks of transitions of power. And often when we see that we're moving into a new season, oftentimes there's a changing of governments. Just like even for this year, this is a political year, this is an election year. And whenever there's transitions of power, it's indicative of the earth or a nation moving into a brand new season. So when God changes times and seasons, he often does it and he changes government powers, he changes systems of authority, he begins to dethrone powers. It says he removes kings and he establishes them. So there are certain powers that are dethroned, there's certain kings that are removed. There's just a changing of authority and governance in the earth that could be reflective of a new day, a new time, a new season that we're in.
Yeah.
And it also reflects the heavens changing. Yeah. Whenever God changes times and seasons, whenever he changes governmental powers, is reflective of heavens changing. Yeah. So then one thing we need to know is that the heavens are changing. And if you look at it the way that God wants you to look at it, guess what? Whenever the heavens change, there's something that God wants to do in that day, in that era. There's a grace for that season. And what you have to do is press into it by faith and say, Lord, if the heavens are changing, I want whatever the heavens bring. I want that rain. Lord, I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask you, Lord, send rain in the time of the latter rain. The heavens are changing. Clouds are forming. And when clouds distill and form, guess what? Raindrops fall.
So then
something new is coming, something fresh is coming because the heavens are changing. Governments are changing. Systems are falling. Principalities are getting weaker over regions.
Hallelujah.
Okay. So let's go on to the third point.
Hallelujah.
Okay, so then Daniel 2:21. It says, he gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. So then one thing you need to know is that there's gradations or there's levels of wisdom. There's ever-increasing rounds of wisdom because the scripture says he gives wisdom to the wise and to the ones who are already applying wisdom, and he gives knowledge to the discerning or to the ones who are already applying discernment. So if you want to grow in wisdom and knowledge in the earth, begin to apply what God has given you. Begin to apply the wisdom that he gives you, because the scripture says he gives wisdom to the ones who are already wise.
Yeah.
And he gives knowledge to the discerning. So then that's the key to accessing the wisdom of heaven, is by walking in wisdom. And as you walk in wisdom, there's ever increasing gradations of wisdom and knowledge and revelation that God gives to the faithful.
Amen. Let me ask you this question. How many of you guys fear the Lord? Right? And what is the same scripture? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge. So every one of you are wise in this room because you fear the Lord. It's the fool that says in his heart there is no God. And you're not foolish people, you're wise because you fear the Lord. That means you have the ability to access more wisdom and more wisdom and more wisdom from God, because he gives more wisdom to the wise. He blesses those who already has it. It's a principle in scripture. To him who has, he gives more to the person that has. If you have wisdom, he's going to give you more wisdom. If you have knowledge and understanding, he's going to give you more knowledge and understanding. And guess what? You have wisdom, knowledge, and understanding because you fear the Lord. And that's all you need. That's all that God needs in order to build more and give you more wisdom and revelation. That's why wisdom and revelation always begins with that foundation. Many people want to be prophets, but then they don't fear the Lord. They don't reverence him. They don't honor him. So then they stay at a certain level. God never adds to that wisdom because they don't have any wisdom. They don't fear God. But God will only give you more when you have it, when you fear him. Remember, the secrets of the Lord are with them that fear him. He won't give secrets and revelation to those who don't fear him.
It's a good word.
Come on. Yes, God.
So the next point. Point four, verse 22, it reads, he reveals the deep and hidden things.
Yeah.
He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. So one of the things we need to know about God is that he's the revealer of secrets. And that, just like I shared before, how we're in a time where God is exposing the things that are hidden in darkness. Yeah. That, you know, he's a God that by the light of his presence, he uncovers and he exposes, because this is an era of illumination. This is an era of enlightening. This is an era where God is causing us to press into greater truth and revelation for the times that we're in. So in the process of God releasing the light of his countenance, the light of his presence in the earth, deep hidden things, dark things are exposed and uncovered. So just know that he's a revealer of secrets.
And one other point that we can get from this is that whenever there's changing times and seasons, especially in the season that we're in, when there's a season of tension, God oftentimes releases deeper wisdom and revelation for that season of tension. Like, it's a little bit deeper than typical wisdom. There's a purpose. It's a deeper revelation that God wants to release now. It's something deeper. Remember, deep calls unto deep. It's something deeper that God wants to just dispense and pour out, even in this hour. And he does that during times of transition. Because what we need is something bigger and better than what we had before in order to help us to transition in comfort. So then God would say, okay, I need the wisdom to, I'm going to give you a new degree of wisdom, because oftentimes transition is difficult. And it could be hard, but God says when it's a season of transition, he's going to give you deeper and special wisdom for that transition season, so that you can transition more easily. So then God wants you to transition with comfort. So it's a special type of wisdom he's giving, and it's a special type of wisdom that he's releasing for this day and this hour if we press into it. Which leads me to the next part. Before we get to what we wanted to talk about, because there's a purpose behind the wisdom and knowledge that God gives. Now, turn to Isaiah chapter 33, verse 5 through 6.
Come on.
Turn it there, and we're going to hammer this real quick. But what I'm going to give you are four more keys to stability.
Come on. That's good.
And you can apply this to yourself. You can apply this to a church. You can apply this to society.
Yeah.
So are we there? Isaiah chapter 33, verse 5 and 6. Are we there?
Yeah.
Okay. It reads, the Lord is exalted, for he dwelleth on high.
Yeah.
He hath filled Zion with judgment and righteousness. And verse 6 is what we're going to focus on. Verse 6. And it says, and wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times. Wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times, of your times. Which means the reason why you may have instability in your life is because of an absence of wisdom and an absence of knowledge. The reason why you can have instability is because you don't have wisdom and you don't have knowledge. You're double-minded. You're here, you're there. You have no grounding. You have no footing. You have no wisdom and knowledge for the season that you're in. But it's the wisdom and knowledge of God that stabilizes our season. It keeps us consistent and constant in Him in our seasons. So whenever there's an absence of wisdom and knowledge, you'll see instability. And that's why I can look at someone's life. And if I see patterns of instability, I already know there's a lack of wisdom and knowledge. There's a lack of wisdom and knowledge that creates that instability. But when you have wisdom and knowledge, it creates stability. And that's why the scripture says wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all your getting, get an understanding. Amen?
My God.
Amen.
Yes.
So it said, and wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of our times and strength of salvation. Now, if you look at that word salvation, in the Hebrew, it's the word Yeshua, where we get the name. Who is that for? It represents Jesus, right?
Yes.
It represents Jesus. So then there's a twofold revelation even with this verse. Number one, if you want stability in your life, you cannot have it aside from Jesus. The strength of Jesus in our life is what brings stability. You can have wisdom and knowledge, but if you have no Jesus, you'll still be an unstable fool. You're still being a stable fool. That's why you need Jesus in your life. He is the strength of that stability. Remember, wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of our times and strength of salvation, or the strength of Yeshua. The strength of Jesus is what stabilizes us in times of crisis and difficulty.
Hallelujah.
And the second part is what Marvin just said. That word Yeshua also means deliverance.
Amen.
Which means that oftentimes you can tell that someone needs deliverance when there's instability in their life. Oftentimes there's demons and devils that create that instability. I can go on and on about this.
Because that is
why there's an emphasis on freedom. Remember when Jesus came into the earth, all he did was cast out devils, because he knew that the only way my people can be stable is if they have deliverance. Remember, Israel was always faltering between two opinions. With God one minute, away from God the next. With them one day, away from him the next. They showed patterns of instability. So when Jesus came into the scene, he said, I'm going to make my people more stable. I'm going to introduce myself, but I'm also going to cast out some devils. And oftentimes the reason why people are schizophrenic, double-minded, confused, is because they need deliverance. Deliverance is the children's bread. We cannot live and be stable apart from deliverance. And that is why God is emphasizing, especially during hard seasons, you may need some deliverance if this season is affecting your faith. And I believe that in this hour, God is emphasizing deliverance. Remember, you know, I'm going off script a little bit. Remember, you know, and this is just the theme of God, just the way that God works. He works in times, seasons, and cycles.
But remember a few months ago or last year, there was a movie that came out, that Come Out in Jesus' Name, I believe that was it.
Yeah.
And it was God highlighting the fact that his people, his church, this nation, what they need more than anything is deliverance. They need freedom. Because I need to deal with their fears, their devils now, before things get rough and tough. In society, before times get hard. But then a sign of an unstable individual is that they have, or they need deliverance. There's deliverance that's needed. So you see that we have three things. We have a lack of wisdom, a lack of knowledge, a lack of Jesus, a lack of deliverance.
Come on.
But we see something else as well. It says, wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of our times and strength of salvation. And the fear of the Lord is his treasure. So we need the fear of the Lord. Remember, four things: lack of wisdom, lack of knowledge, lack of Jesus or deliverance, lack of the fear of the Lord. Those four things. If you don't have any of those four things, then you have an unstable society, an unstable church, an unstable life as an individual. You need all four things. I need God's wisdom. I need God's knowledge. I need Jesus in my heart. I need deliverance. And I need the fear of the Lord. And that is what creates stability in your life. Just those four things. If you just focus on those four things, you can live a quiet and peaceable life.
My.
Jesus. That's the reason why we see instability in our planet.
Yeah.
Is because of a lack of those four things.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But as I mentioned before, wisdom and knowledge is imperative for the times that we are living in, which takes us to our next topic. I don't know if you wanted to share that one a few weeks ago. I think you may have shared it at Apostle Loretta's church. I don't know if you wanted to share that or not. Or we could. Okay, but you don't even remember. Let's go.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Yeah, I was kind of confused because I'm like, what happened a few weeks ago? But no, he's talking about an actual encounter I had like 2 years ago where, from time to time, not often, but at night, the Lord may take me into his world. So then, this is a particular moment when the Lord, with my spirit, whether I was out of my body, in my body, I do not know, but one thing I do know, I was with Jesus in heaven.
Come on.
So then I was in this, beautiful place. This beautiful, garden and, paradise. It was just, awesome. To the point where everything resonated and buzzed and vibrated with the essence of God, with the essence of Jesus. Everything was glistening. Even the water was pure. Everything was illuminated with the essence of Jesus, which is his love, his light, his love. Because there's deep love that comes from him. So then I'm just acknowledging the beauty of this place. And then, I see this, what looks like a cloud come and move right over me. And then all of a sudden, I see these golden raindrops just start falling from this cloud, just falling. And then I began to look in these golden raindrops. As they were falling, I saw that they weren't just raindrops. They were like equations and hieroglyphics and formulas and shapes, geometrical shapes. They weren't just regular raindrops, but I knew it represented something like a type of wisdom that God wants to release. So then I asked the Lord, I'm like, Lord, what is this? And he says, what I'm getting ready to do for those who are hungry and who ask, even as the scripture says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men liberty. The Lord says, I'm moving my church into a time where if they want my wisdom to address the circumstances of our day, the problems of our day, I'm releasing solutions, I'm releasing equations, I'm releasing formulas to address and bring solutions to the issues and problems of our day and of our time. So I saw these golden formulas, raindrops, geometrical shapes, hieroglyphics fall, and even when they fell on my skin, it was like they were bursting shafts of light. Like all this pure light. As they hit my skin, they were just dispersed in different rays of light. So then, like, that encounter was 2 years ago, and the Lord was saying, like, tell my people that they're going to move into a time where earthly wisdom won't be enough. But what we're dealing with on our planet, it's going to take something greater than earthly carnal wisdom. We need wisdom from above. We need wisdom from God. We need heavenly wisdom. We need God to reign upon us, formula, solution, so that we can be his solutionaries, his solutionists in the earth. So God wants to anoint us to bring solutions to the earth problems. God does not want to give ideas, like he gives ideas to his people. Just like I said before, like the secrets of the Lord, they belong to those who fear him.
Yeah.
To those who have reverence of him. So then God wants to release his secrets. He wants to release his special knowledge to those who fear him. And there's a special wisdom that God says is available for those who ask and for those who position themselves to be a solutionist in the times that we are in.
Yeah. And this is especially true for those who are entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
Like if you want to establish a business for the time that you're in, God will oftentimes give you special wisdom, a wisdom that is higher in order for you to have a solution that can help bring resources and help bring aid to humanity and the earth. So then that's what we need to press into as kingdom entrepreneurs. And that's what I really believe God is saying, because we never know what may happen. Sooner or later, we may not be able to bank on the way this system is operating.
We're not.
You know, the way this economy is operating. So then this is where God is telling us, I need you to press in and lean into a wisdom that is higher.
That's God.
And in this hour, God wants to release that, but he will only give it to the hungry and the thirsty. Because if you don't want it, you're not going to get it. That's one thing you have to understand about the kingdom. It always works based on desire. God needs to see your desire and your hunger for it. You'll never get this extraordinary solutionist wisdom if you do not desire it and want it and have a hunger for it. You agonize for it. You thirsting for it. You praying for it. You pleading for it. God gives bread to the hungry.
Come on, preach the gospel.
So if you hunger for that type of wisdom, guess what? He's going to give it to you.
Yes.
He's going to give you those golden rings of solutions for the world's problems.
That's God.
And it will not only put money and wealth in your
pocket.
Come on,
come on.
It'll bring wealth to his house.
Come on.
It'll bring wealth to his church. So that we can take over for real.
That's God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now we're about to transition into what we wanted to talk about. And,
hallelujah.
You know, Apostle Loretta, she mentioned it before about the times we're in.
Yes.
That there's a special grace and an anointing that's needed for the times that we are in. And what I want you to do is turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32.
Come on.
And what I'm going to do is give you a quick backdrop. Just let me know when you're there.
I'm there.
There.
You got there quick.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Because God wants to give us something special in this hour.
Come on.
So that we can have an edge and a prophetic advantage.
Come on.
Because if there's ever a time when his church needs an edge and an advantage, is now.
You better say it. You better say it.
We need that prophetic edge, that extra grace, that dose, that edge that even the world doesn't have.
Hallelujah.
But let me give you a backdrop before we actually read the verse. So then, during this time, it was a time when there was a transition of power. Mm-hmm. And the old king during that time was Saul, but then there was a division.
Come on.
Because Saul did not want to give up his seat of power.
Yeah, yeah.
So then right here we have tension. God wants to do something new in bringing this new king, which is David.
Right. Jesus.
But Saul did not want to relinquish power. And it was a time when there was great divide in the land and tension. And there was conflict and tension between the old order and the new order. And oftentimes the old order wants to maintain power. They don't want to give way for the new to come. Because David was young, but he was the anointed one. But the old Saul didn't want to leave because he wanted to maintain power. And if we're not careful, the old can fight against the new and the now. Come on. And what we have to do is recognize when that new thing is a God thing and give way for it.
Absolutely.
But because of pride, we want to secure power.
Come on.
And we want to maintain our seat of authority. But even in this hour, there was tension and there was divide in the land. Because some people were still with Saul. Mm-hmm. But then there was a group that was also on David's side. So it was a time of national divide. And it was a time of national conflict. But in this particular chapter, what they were doing, they were numbering the armies or identifying those who were on David's side. Because not everybody was on David's side. There were certain individuals in every single tribe that were not on David's side. But there were certain individuals within each of the 12 tribes that were on David's side. And in this particular chapter, they were numbering them by way of families. They would go through each family. They would go from Judah to Reuben, all the different tribes, and they'll identify how many of those soldiers were on David's side. So then, right now, we come to verse 32. And in this verse, they're talking about a particular tribe called the children of Issachar.
Come on.
And it reads in verse 32, and it says, "And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do, the heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment." So we see here that there was a special group that was numbered within this tribe called the tribe of Issachar, or the children of Issachar. And what was unique about this troop of military men, because that's what these men were. They were men who were a part of David's army, which means that in times of warfare, what you need more than anything, especially in an army, is people that understand times and seasons. Especially when you're in a warfare season.
You better say
you need to understand times and seasons. And not just understand times and seasons, but know what to do in that time and season.
That's it.
Because you can measure the temperature of the time and season and still be ignorant on what to do in that time and season. Many people know that it's time to go to work.
Come on.
But if you don't know how to do that work, you won't get paid.
Come on.
That's good.
You need more than just, I just made that up just now. I know it's probably a bad example, but it just
comes by
inspiration.
That was good.
Yeah.
But you can be aware of the times and seasons that we're in and still be ignorant on what to do. And that's all that the devil needs to take advantage of you, right? Because he takes advantage of us by our ignorance. See, it doesn't matter that you know that we're living in a critical time and that you're in this particular season, but as long as you're foolish and you don't know what to do, the enemy can still wreak havoc in your life. And that's why you don't just need to discern the time and season, but you need knowledge on what to do in that time and season. And that is what God is saying now. I want my church to know what season we're in, but to know what to do. I have special wisdom and knowledge for the season that we're in globally and for the season that you're in individually. Because you're also in an individual time and you need that Issachar anointing, especially in a warfare season. Because there were a critical part in David's army. Remember, David didn't just go and fight any time. Remember, there was times for war and a time for peace. Remember, there was a time when he asked God, he said, "Shall I go up?" Then God said, "Pursue, overtake, and recover all." Remember, there are special times for battle. You need to know when it's a time to fight and when it's a time to rest. But they also knew what to do. But, of course, with this anointing, it was needed, for one, during a time of transition. Remember, this is a time when the kingdom was transitioning from Saul to David. So during times of transition, which is where we're at now as individuals and as society, you need this anointing of Issachar. You need this anointing of the children of Israel. You need this mantle on your life. During a time of national crisis, this anointing is needed. When there's tension in the land, when there's great national divide in the land, that's when you need to know the times and seasons and have knowledge of what to do. When there's division in the land, you need it. And also in a warfare season, you need this anointing as well.
Yeah, you know, I was going to say this is interesting because it just came to mind, like how God loved his people so much that he made sure that there was a tribe among them that had an ability to discern times and seasons and to understand the counsel of God. God loves us so much that he does not want us to go without his counsel. Just like he did for natural Israel, God, for us spiritual Israel, he says, I love spiritual Israel. I love my church so much that I don't want them to go without my counsel. So there's an Issachar grace upon the church that if we have a faith to believe, we can access God's wisdom, know what he's doing in each time and season. But not only that, but we will know what we ought to do in each time and season. But you can see here how the children of Issachar had an ability to discern times and seasons and know what they ought to do. And one of the ways they did it, they did it with a combination of revelation they received from God, but not only that, they were able to read patterns in history. They were able to discern patterns and signs based on like analysis. They were able to read and understand timelines and say, if this happened, if we see the pattern of this happening, then there's a likelihood that this is going to happen in the future. So they were able to interpret the times and give context and contextualize what they already knew from history. So they were keepers of time. They actually kept the history of Israel, and they were able to interpret patterns and predict what was going to happen. So a part of the prophetic grace and anointing is that, of course, we hear from God, but we're able to read the signs of the times and say, okay, if this has happened, then there's a likelihood based on trends in society that we'll see this happen.
We have to have the ability to read trends.
Come on.
Because that's what this Issachar anointing is for as well. Not only do we receive divine revelation from God, but we can identify patterns that happen repetitively throughout Israel's history, and we'll know what to do. This is why the Apostle Paul, when he was encouraging the church, he says, let Israel be for your admonition. Which means look at Israel and learn from their mistakes, because there's patterns in their life that I can keep you from if you know what those patterns and things are. You can make the right decision and you can shift and do what I want you to do. But it's all about discerning times and seasons and recognizing patterns.
Yes.
Chronologically, go back in time and see what happened in history when this happened and this happened. Yes. And then you use the wisdom of God and the supernatural grace of God to know what to do in those seasons. But one thing I want to mention is that the devil will do whatever he can to fight this anointing from being really fully operated in the church. And the reason why he does it is because he wants to stop transition. He don't want you to transition. So what he'll do, he'll make sure that this grace doesn't operate in the church. Because as long as he can stop transition, he can stop the new thing that God wants to do in the earth. Remember, this was during a time when God wanted to do a new thing. A new king was trying to be established. But the enemy will fight this anointing, fight this grace from being operating in the church, because he wants to stop the new thing. He wants to stop transition. And that's why more than anything, we need to endeavor, believe, have faith, and press into this grace so that we can access the new thing that God wants us to access. But let me get through this real quick. So then what we're going to talk about now is the repercussions or the consequences of not discerning the times and seasons that we're in. And there's an example that we're going to give, but first off, I want to say there's two times in the Bible where Jesus wept, where he cried.
Yeah.
The first time was when Lazarus died, right?
Yeah.
He cried because he seen everyone else crying. He seen Martha, he seen the friends cry, and the Bible says when Jesus saw them crying, that's when he cried. when he wept when he saw them weeping. And it just goes to show the nature of the Lord. That when we're weeping, he's weeping. Yeah. That when we cry, he cries. It just speaks of his love and his compassion. But then that's the first time where it talked about Jesus weeping. He wept because he saw them crying. And he empathized. He saw them crying because he saw that they was hurting. And that should make you fall in love with him even more. Because even when we're hurting, he cries with us.
Yeah.
And he's our help as well. But we know what happened afterwards. After he cried, guess what happened? Lazarus got up out of that grave.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
That's the first time when Jesus wept. The second time when Jesus wept is what we're going to talk about now. Now, can you turn it to Luke chapter 19, verse 41 through 44? And this is important because this is connected to what is happening now. Okay, Luke chapter 19, verse 41 through 44. And I'm going to read the New Living Translation. I like the way that sounds a bit better. I'm a King James person, but, you know, when I read the New Living Translation, I like the way that sounds.
Come on.
You know, just do that in. Amen. I hope this is good. I hope this is blessing you guys.
Come on.
Okay.
Excellent.
So, all right, Luke chapter 19, verse 41. Are we there?
Okay. Yes.
All right, and it reads, "But as he came closer to Jerusalem and saw the city ahead, he began to weep." So when he came closer to Jerusalem, he saw the city and he began to cry. He began to cry. And there's a reason why he cried. Really, if you think about it, let me just give you a little backdrop. Jesus, all during this time, for close to 3 years, he was ministering, casting out their devils, everything. Doing all this stuff to really show them who was in his, who was in their midst. But guess what? They did not.
They missed it.
They missed it. They did not recognize it. Okay, let's read verse 42. And it says, Jesus says, "How I wish today that you of all people would understand the way to peace. But now it is too late." Which means that there's always a window of opportunity that you have to seize. There's a kairos moment. And during that Kairos moment, God was saying, "Here, this is my mercy to Israel. I'm here casting out the devils. I'm giving you the gospel of the kingdom. But guess what? You missed the time. Now it's too late."
My God.
Which means that you can actually miss out on God if you're not in sync with his Kairos moment. And it doesn't mean that God would give up on you.
Right.
It just means because you missed that window, you may have to go through some challenges that you could have avoided if you discerned the time that you were in and you knew the grace and the wisdom for that time. But because they did not recognize what time it was, God said, "Now it's too late, and peace is now hidden from your eyes." But look at what it says in verse 43. It says, "Before long, your enemies will build ramparts against your walls and encircle you and close in on you from every side." In other words, there's a consequence for not walking in discernment and recognizing the time. When you don't recognize the time, what happens is that the enemy comes and he will encircle you because you didn't recognize the time that it was.
Yeah.
So then oftentimes the reason why we're going through what we're going through is because we did not recognize the time and season that we're in, because we could have avoided the enemy coming in and encircling us. And that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to encircle you. And that is why he fights this grace. He doesn't want you to understand the times and seasons, because the minute you do, guess what? He won't be able to encircle you.
Absolutely.
So then God wants you to understand times and seasons. But guess what? It gets even worse. It gets even worse because in the next verse it says, "They will crush you into the ground and your children with you." In other words, your inability to discern not only affects you, but it affects your children as well. It affects those that are close to you. Oftentimes, because you have no knowledge of the time that you're in, your children may have to face the consequences of your bad decisions. And you not recognizing the time and season that you're in.
My God.
And not just your children. It just represents anyone that's in your close proximity.
Right.
Anyone that's close to you. Now, just imagine if you knew the consequence that it meant to your children, you would probably endeavor to figure out what God is doing in this season because you love your children so much. You don't want them to be crushed. Because in this scripture, he says, I will not only crush you to the ground, I'll crush your children. My, my, my. I'll affect the next generation. And that is why this generation is confused, even now. Because we neglected our responsibility to be watchmen and discern the times and seasons. So what happened is that a snake and serpent crept in unaware. And it brought deception. And now our children, we have to battle our children. There's all types of confusion there and now. Because the enemy is trying to sift them like me. He's crushing them.
My God. My, my, my.
But we see here the consequences of really not walking in discernment. And that is why this anointing is so important for the time and season that we're in. And, you know, we're about to close out. But what we have to understand is that God is good. That he loves us. God is good all the time. All the time God is good. He loves us. And he does not leave us comfortless. He always gives us something to help us in the season that we're in. Now, if you look at the word Issachar in Hebrew, that word Issachar means reward. It means reward. God gives us a reward. It means a gift. It means reward. And the greatest gift that we have as believers is salvation and the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit is one of the greatest gifts we have as believers. So then what you have to understand is that this Issachar grace is more than just a grace to understand times and seasons. What God did, even through his death, burial, resurrection, when he ascended, he gave gifts unto men. What he did was release an Issachar grace or the Holy Spirit. Because what you have to understand is that the true Issachar of God is the Holy Ghost.
That's
it. The true Issachar of God is the Holy Spirit. And that is why God said, I won't leave you comfortless. But I will give you the Holy Spirit, who is the reward of God, who is the gift of God. And he will show you things to come. And he will teach you. He will show you things to come. He will give you understanding of the times and seasons and give you knowledge on what to do. So all of you have the Holy Spirit. We have access to the Holy Spirit. That's why we have access to the Issachar of God, to this Issachar grace, this anointing. And what we need to do by faith is exercise it and extend our faith for it. Amen? So then what we're going to do... You can say it.
I was going to say, and this shows the importance of having friendship with the Holy Spirit. When we
Amen.
Have friendship with him, fellowship with the Spirit, the Comforter, his counsel comes. You know, the Holy Spirit is the Issachar of God. And as we get to know Holy Spirit as our friend, we have access to the wisdom and counsel of God. And we know what we ought to do in each season of our life. So just know that when Jesus died, he did not leave us comfortless. His love demanded that we have his counsel and his wisdom in our life, and he did it by way of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the Issachar of God. He is the reward of God to those who ask and receive Jesus into their life. So the very fact that you're a believer in this room and you believe in Jesus, you have the Issachar grace within your life. And if at any moment you can access God's wisdom for any situation you need wisdom for. Hallelujah.
It's a grace that is needed for this hour in this time. So then what we're going to do, we're going to believe God that this house, this ministry will really move in that grace in this 2024 year. Because that's what we need. If there's ever a time we need the Holy Spirit, it is now in our midst. And oftentimes we talk about everything else. We talk about Jesus, the cross, but we don't talk about the Holy Spirit enough. The more you talk about him, the more you see his activity in our midst. So then what we're going to do, we're going to make the Holy Spirit big in this room. I don't even know what God is going to do in this room. God may pop up with miracles, signs, and wonders. God may give you new wisdom, new revelation. But God is going to do a new thing, and it will be as a result of the Holy Spirit being in our midst. There is a river that makes glad the city of God. God is in the midst of us. You shall not be moved. Because you're a believer, you have the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. Remember, as many as believe, out of their belly shall flow rivers of living water. Yes, and it says, this is he speaking concerning the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. So that you have access to the Issachar grace on your life even now. And what we're going to do, we're just going to pray over you even now. You know, and pray that your eyes will be open, that you will see what God wants you to see. And if there's one thing you have to understand about me and my brother, we just have this grace where we can just impart the gifts of God. Like even when we teach and when we have classes, we impart that grace in the room. So then I know God is going to do something even in this house. Where next thing you know, you'll have a dream. You'll go to bed even in the night and you'll have a dream. God will give you a dream, give you more clarity on what season you're in now. But we're going to believe that you are pressed into that anointing. Then after that, what we're going to do, we're going to pray and prophesy over many of you, even in this room.
Thank you, Jesus.
I don't want to want you to leave this room without some direction. I want you to leave this meeting with a confidence and a blessed assurance that you know that God is on your side and he's working on your behalf. Amen. So then what we're going to do, we're just going to pray and we're going to see what God does. Amen.
Yes.
I thank God. I thank God.
Thank you, God.
For what he's doing even in this
thank night. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
I guess if you know, we can just lift our hands and just focus on Jesus. Hallelujah. If you pray in the spirit, just pray in your heavenly language. So Father, you are here in our midst, and God, we ask, oh God, that you would come and that you release a fresh grace upon this house to discern the times and seasons and know what they ought to do in each time and season. God, I pray for an extra measure of wisdom, that you release knowledge and revelation, that you will give us eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart to perceive what you are doing in this hour. When you said, he that hath an ear, let him hear. God, I pray that you will open up their spiritual ears and that you will cause them to hear the sound of heaven, to hear the frequency of heaven. God, that you will cause their ears to be circumcised and that you will cause their eyes to be enlightened. God, I pray that you enlighten the eyes of their heart, the eyes of their understanding, so that they can see you and hear you and receive revelation of what you're doing in their life and in the life of others. So God, I pray that you will do it today, that you will cause it to rest upon this place like a canopy. God, I pray that the canopy of your spirit descend in this place, oh God. God, I pray, God, let it rest upon this place like the dew of Hermon. God, I pray, let it rest upon us like the dew of heaven. God, I pray that you will distill upon this place, that you will come and distill like the dew of Hermon, God, like the dew of your presence, that you will come and release wisdom, that you will release revelation, that they will walk with the angels of wisdom, the angels of revelation, the angels that excel in strength. God, I pray you do it, because we know it's not by might, it is not by power, but it's by your spirit. The Holy Spirit moved in this place as he did in the beginning, when your spirit hovered over the face of the water, and you said, let there be light, and there was light. So God, you said, let there be light, let there be light. Yes, and I hear the Lord say that even as the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth, the Lord says, my eyes are dropping in this room even now to give you insight on what I'm doing, not in your individual life, but across the globe, says the Lord. For the Lord said, I give my church a prophetic advantage, and I anoint their eyes with eye salve so that they can see. But the Lord says, many of your hearts have been closed and hardened because of hurt and issues. But the Lord says, I come to heal you of your issues and to deal with your baggage so that you can see me and see what I'm doing in this hour. So the Lord says, allow me to come down and touch you. For the Lord says, I sent my spirit in this room, and I want to give you something new. I want to impart into you fresh eyes. I want to give you fresh vision for your future and fresh vision for the nations of the earth. So the Lord says, watch what I do even in your life. Even as a result of this meeting, you will never leave the same again. For the Lord says, I'm crowning this meeting. I'm establishing an altar in this meeting. I'm establishing a memorial in this meeting. And you will always be reminded that you have this Issachar grace. You have this advantage that I've sent the Holy Spirit to help you in the midst of life's trials and difficulty. And it'll give you wisdom for your finances. It'll give you wisdom for your family. It'll give you wisdom in your job. It'll give you wisdom for your health. It'll give you wisdom for the time and the season that you're in. The Lord said, I will not have it so that you're ignorant, but that you can know what to do, so that the world can come to you and say, what do we need to do? And you will have the answer for them, because I'm that God that wants to give wisdom to the wise and wisdom to the hungry. So the Lord said, receive my eyes even now. Receive my eyes. The revelation of the Lord, the seven spirits of God. The seven spirits of God. Lord, I pray, let your angelic host be in this room even now. God, we pray for cherubs and seraphs, the eyes within and without. God, we pray that revelation to be released in this room, and you will open the closed eyes, and that you cause us to see you high and lifted up and have a glimpse of eternity and a glimpse of what you desire to do in the earth in Jesus' name. So Lord, fall with your eyes down. Just receive it even now. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So yeah, so we're just going to minister to a few people, you know, even those that the Lord is highlighting in this room. But you know, I was going to say, this couple right here behind, are you guys are a couple.